Hey, Ron Sattermo here. Welcome to another edition of Tri Chatter. I have Evie Katahdin with us. She's going to tell us who she is. Say hi, Evie.
Hello.
Evie's here to talk to us about how us triathletes can, perform better and come back from injury. So, Evie, tell us first about your education. Let's go all the way back to your education, how you got started in the field that you're in.
Way back when. So I grew up in the Midwest, suffered from migraines and stomach aches and suffered through that for the years and was put on heavy medications, beta blocker drugs as a 16-year-old for migraines. You just do what your doctor tells you in Michigan, and got through college, ended up with a migraine in Colorado. I saw a nurse practitioner who said, well, of course you have headaches. You're drinking 6 Diet Cokes a day. And I had this aha moment that just, what? We control how we feel? So the choices I'm making every day, it was baffling to me that we have control over how we feel. And I felt the need to not only take back the reins of my own health, but really to spread that message. So at that point, I found naturopathic medicine. Naturopathic medicine is a four-year program. There are four licensed, accredited naturopathic medical schools in the country right now. And basically the first 2 years of the medical education are similar to a traditional medical school. We do the same basic sciences, biochemistry, anatomy, physiology. And then the second 2 years, rather than doing emergency medicine, doing major surgery, we veer off and study nutrition. We study botanical medicine, homeopathy. So it's using the same Western backbone of medicine and then using preventive and natural therapies to promote healing rather than just put band-aids and treat disease.
So is there an Eastern element to this, or is it all still Western?
For me, there is. So that's naturopathic medicine. Okay. And then while I was in naturopathic school, I started training for my first triathlon. And I mean, couch potato to triathlon. So that first sprint tri that I trained for, my knees hurt. I had chin splints. And so I went in as an acupuncture patient, and again, just blown away by what these things can do. So what else can get into a joint, right? So if you have a joint pain, you can take glucosamine, and maybe 50% of people will respond to that. Otherwise, you can't get into that joint. You can take steroids, and that's about it. Yeah. There isn't a big medical bag to treat those things, but with a needle, I can go right in there and increase local circulation. It was so fast and so effective that I said, you know what, I'm going to do my Master's of Science of Oriental Medicine concurrently. So now it's a six-year program doing the two programs combined.
Right.
And I went on to specialize specifically in sports medicine, both from Western and the Eastern perspectives.
Wow, that's got to be helpful.
It was fascinating.
Yeah, so all right, so your practice is where?
I'm practicing Costa Mesa.
Okay, and how long have you been operating?
Since 2004.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, all along I started, I started the specializing in sports medicine while I was still in school. There are not a lot of people doing natural or Chinese sports medicine, so I really had to forge my own way and do my own research, and there aren't just CEU conferences that you can go to and learn how to be a sports naturopath. Yeah. They're not out there.
Yeah.
So I had to do my own legwork and develop the programs and find out what worked and what didn't work. In June, so about a year and a half ago, was when I founded my business, Athletizen, specifically, and said, you know what, this is what I love to do. This is what I get great results with. And there are a lot of people who need this service. So I specialized and said, let's just go forward with Athletizen specifically a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, you got a great location. I mean, you're just California, and everybody around is, you know, into some sort of athletics. So you're in a great spot. So the majority of our audience are triathletes. So what does a typical triathlete come to you for?
Well, one of two things. So typically, and I don't know if this is true, off the top of my head, I'm thinking that the typical female presentation is different than the typical male presentation. So often female triathletes come in because they want to increase their lean muscle mass and lose fat mass.
Okay.
Because they know that they're going to run faster, they're going to perform better if they get a few pounds off.
Yeah, we all need that.
Yeah. So, you know, you've had babies and everything's changed and you want to lose some weight. So typically people will come in to me and say, how do I do this while training because I'm hungrier? You know, I've done a lot of work with charity runners.
Mm.
So there's a program from the Heart Association, trained to end stroke, and now I work with Start Training. I'm working with Team and Training now. So I've worked with a lot of people who are starting to do triathlon or marathon because they want to lose weight.
Yeah.
And that's a very unique presentation. That is not the same as an elite triathlon, you know, a triathlete. That's a different thing that they're needing.
Yeah.
So it's really important to figure out how you do it without gaining weight. Because a lot of those people hear, oh, I'm walking a marathon, so I need a buffet strapped to my waist.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I need gels, and I need Gatorade, and I need bananas, right?
Yeah.
And people end up gaining weight while they're doing that. So because you're hungrier, you just have to eat smarter, right? So you don't get to get away with all the junk, and you have to make your food count. So we, you know, I try and work with people to make the shift to where you think about everything you're eating as counting as fuel. So don't worry about the junk calories. You don't need all of that. You need to make everything count and get nutrition out of everything that you eat so that you can perform better, build lean muscle mass, and burn fat mass. And that's possible. You know, it's really quite easy to shift your body from burning sugar almost exclusively for fuel to burning more fat. And it's not that hard to do. So that's one of the main things we talk about is how do we eat smarter?
Yeah. Well, we talk about that a lot from a training perspective, and it's usually, you know, train it at lower intensities where you're going to burn more fat and get your body used to burning more fat. And particularly with the endurance athletes, I do all distances, but including Ironman, and you know, I'm told the body's got whatever it is, 30,000, 50,000 calories of fat that you can burn.
Stored.
You know, you got the stored fat, and if you can burn that as opposed to glycogen, you know, you're going to help avoid that bonk syndrome, which out of five Ironmans, I've bonked five times. So
really?
We're working on that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's so, a fuel source that you're not tapping.
Right, right. So if there's foods that we can eat that, you know, that will help us burn fat, I'm interested.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's also just changing the way that your metabolism works.
Yeah.
So it is foods that you eat, but it's more changing the way your body is used to working, right? So what do? We burn sugar all day long, you know, and that's what your brain uses, and we're putting it in everything. If you ever start reading labels, you won't believe how much sugar we're getting.
Yeah, I bet.
And it really only takes a few days of getting sugar out and getting, you know, getting a really clean diet, getting some good nutrients and not too much sugar in, where your body finds out it's almost like a detox reaction, right? Like, I'm starving, I'm jittery, I feel anxious for a day or two, because your body really has to shift into burning that fat. And if you eat smart, it's possible to do. And you see it with people all the time. You can tell when you see an athlete whose body looks like it's lean and it's working well, they're eating well.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm addicted to sugar.
Aren't we all?
You know, I just feel like I need it all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. And it takes, you know, it's pretty good. It's faster than you think. I always told people that you need 21 days to really get sugar out of your system. Or, you know, they say that to create a new habit, you need 21 days. I'm finding that once you make the decision and you are going to stick to it, really within a week, the sugar craving is much better.
Really?
And things start to taste better. I mean, if you do it, you have to really do it and take all the sugar out, not having a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
So when you take it out and only use it when you need it, I mean, you're not going to do an Ironman without sugar, right? So we use it for training, but not in our day-to-day diet. And you'd be surprised how fast things start to taste too sweet. You know, I grew up on Coca-Cola, and that is seriously sweet.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but you don't know it when you're drinking five of them a day.
Yeah.
So when you get away from that and you start to realize that fruit really is sweet enough for dessert, you know, you change your palate so that food starts to taste better and you don't need so much salt and you don't need so much salad dressing, for example.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of olive oil and vinegar and you actually get to taste your vegetables. It tastes good.
Hmm.
So you're able to kind of change the way you perceive flavors.
Yeah.
Wow. By cleaning out.
Yeah, I guess I need to come see you.
It's pretty easy. It's not hard to do. You asked about what are the typical presentations and who comes in. Men tend to be like you. Like, well, how do I just clean up shop? So how do I start to feel better and optimize how I'm feeling? So usually they have a race coming up and they want to do better than the last race. So it's like, how do I clean up and stop craving things and feel a little bit better? And that's the more typical male presentation.
Yeah. Yeah. So in my case, you know, I think I would fall into that category, and I like to lean down a little bit before my races, but it's sort of contrary to what I'm trying to accomplish. I mean, when I hit my race phase, which is typically 9 weeks out from my race, my volume and my intensity goes way up, mm-hmm. and my appetite follows that,
of course.
You know, and it just feels like I need it, even though I may not. Mm-hmm. So what would you tell this athlete that's in pretty good shape, could stand to lose, you know, a couple of pounds just to lean down a little bit before the race,
okay.
but not compromise their training or the race? What could
they
do?
That's the trick. That's the hard part, is how do we find a way to lose weight without doing damage? Because the pretty standard nutritional advice is you can't lose weight while you're training.
Right.
You know, because you don't want to be breaking down. And I think to some extent that's true. But again, I'm going to go back to making every calorie count, because I do believe that you are going to both maximize your performance and your metabolism and lose a little bit of weight if you're eating smart.
Yeah.
So if you're eating good lean proteins and lots of vegetables, I think really you've heard it before. We've all heard it before. If you eat more vegetables, you're going to feel better and you're going to function better.
And why is that? I mean, what's in vegetables that does that? Are you going to feel full? Because it just seems like when I try to eat that way, I'm hungry all the time.
You're hungry all the time. The trick is to balance it with protein and fat.
Okay.
Right? So if you eat, this is a little off topic, but if you're going to eat a banana, your blood sugar is going to go up and dip down lower than it was before.
Yeah.
If you ate that same banana with a handful of nuts, it doesn't go, your blood sugar doesn't go up as high, and it stays stable longer.
Hmm.
So fat and protein both change the way that your blood sugar is balanced. I think blood sugar is really what you're asking about. Mm. How do you stay satiated and get full?
Right.
So it's good fats and it's protein along with the vegetables. And, you'd be surprised if you eat enough of it that you really can get full on vegetables. You just have to eat more than you're used to eating,
right.
and balance it with the fats and the proteins. You know, years ago, when was that? The early 80s, when everybody was doing low fat. You remember, like, Entenmann's cakes, right? Like, oh, I can eat cake. Low fat, you know. And Americans got fatter than ever in history. You can't cut out fat. But I think that still is in the back of our collective consciousness.
Right.
We think that we can't have fat, and we think that we can't have nuts. Inevitably, every week somebody will say, oh, I'm trying to lose weight, and I'll tell them to eat nuts, and they'll look at me like I'm crazy.
Like
I can't
nuts.
Eat too many nuts. Like, I'm nuts, a little bit like that. Yeah, like they think that you can't have a good fat, and I think that that's keeping us fat.
Yeah.
You really need to balance proteins and fats with a good amount of vegetables. And what's in the vegetables that makes them so effective are the micronutrients. So when we talk about macronutrition, that just means big level, protein, fat, and carbohydrate. That's macronutrition. That's the basics, right? Micronutrition is your vitamins and your minerals and your amino acids, right? It's all the little things.
Okay.
So those are the things that help you get stronger and stay healthier. So there's one of two ways we can do this. We can wait until you're injured, and then I can give you a bunch of fancy supplements. Or you can start from the beginning and eat green leafy vegetables every day and purple and blue berries every day. If you get purples and blues and greens and you eat a lot of different colors of vegetables every day, you are so much less likely to get injured, because you're getting everything that I'm later going to have to give you in a pill if you don't get it from your diet.
So, okay. So how does what I eat help me prevent from getting injured? And what types of injury? Obviously, if I get hit by a car, that's a whole different type of injury.
Different story. Overuse, I think, is what you're asking about, right? Like overuse injury?
Is it okay? So overuse injuries, yeah.
So it's exactly that. It's the micronutrition. So if you have, you know, a muscle, It seems a little counterintuitive, but it requires more energy of a muscle to relax than it does for it to contract. Okay, so that means your default action is to have your shoulders all hunched up and stressed over your keyboard, right? That's the default. If you aren't eating perfectly, nobody eats perfectly, if you aren't eating really well and taking really good care of yourself, and that goes for your legs too, people who get calf cramps in the middle of the night or in the pool. Yeah. It's pretty common in the pool, your foot cramps up or in the middle of the night. Usually that's a magnesium deficiency, which means you're missing a mineral. People will say that's always electrolytes. It's not always electrolytes. And magnesium is usually the one that you need to put back because it's a mineral deficiency. And
what do you eat with magnesium in it?
That's interesting. The women will be amused because you crave chocolate when you have your period, and that is because your uterus is a muscle. It's a deficiency of magnesium. Chocolate has magnesium. That's not the medicine I'm going to give you.
Yeah, you just kept on saying, trying to cut out the sweets.
Right. No, it's those greens. So it's greens and purples. It's darkly colored vegetables and fruits. Fruits are just have a little bit more sugar in them. So the more that you can get from your vegetables, the better off you are.
Yeah.
Leafy greens, dark leafy greens. So it's not
spinach
and, God forbid I say it, kale. Yeah. We're just not used to eating that stuff. You know, it's not in our everyday palate to eat chard or to eat collard greens. But when we get it in, we feel a lot better. Spinach is easy because it's palatable, it's available, and we're used to it.
It's prepackaged.
You don't have to clean it and cut it and chop it and throw out the roots and the dirt. And yeah, that's easier, and I'm all for it. Yeah. Again, I do like to see rotation, though. Yeah. Because if you're mixing that up, you're getting more nutrition than you would if you always wait. But start with spinach. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, well, you mentioned rotation before we started the interview. And, you know, we talk about rotation and strength training too. You know, if you're doing, you know, half a dozen strength training movements during, you know, as you're working out, that you should change that periodically because, you know, your body sort of gets adapted to that. And
yeah, it's the same thing.
Same idea.
Yeah. And what I'm trying to do is just kind of step back and look at all those micronutrients, right? So rotation means you're going to get, there's a whole nother slew of vitamins, minerals, amino acids that are going to come with kale than did with the spinach. So if you can get all those different things in, it's better absorbed than taking it in a pill. It's, you know, it's just, it's better.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's rotation and getting exposed to all the different things so that you don't end up in my office 6 months from now because you ran out of all your selenium. That's the thing about farming now too, is you really have to keep in mind that our produce is not what it was 25 years ago. It's over farmed.
It doesn't taste like it.
Tomato?
Here in Southern California, it just doesn't seem like the fruits and vegetables have all that flavor. I'm from Michigan as well.
Oh.
So when, you know, you could go and pick a strawberry and you'd eat it. And be, oh my God, this is so sweet. And out here, the fruit has no flavor.
Right. You ever get like a tomato on a sandwich and you're like, why is it gray? Why is the tomato gray?
Yeah.
You know, there's no nutrition in that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said there. You know, going organic farming is a whole nother can of worms, but where there is more nutrition, it's just important to think about minerals. I used selenium as an example because men and male athletes in particular tend to be quite deficient in both zinc and in selenium. And those are things that it's not your fault. Even if you are eating the vegetables, it's just not there like it used to be.
Yeah.
So sometimes we do end up having to use some supplementation to get things back. And then you learn, okay, well, I did some testing. I know you're deficient in selenium. So eat Brazil nuts. And you're, oh, okay, well, so once a week I'll eat a few Brazil nuts and you're getting a good source of the selenium. So there are things that are pretty typical. You know, men tend to be deficient in these things and women tend to be deficient in these. So we can do both. We can do supplementation and then education about where can you go in your diet to get that.
So how do you determine when somebody's deficient in something? I mean, you can interview them and they can sort of tell you in general terms, but I find it's difficult for me to say exactly when I'm having a particular problem.
To connect it to something. Yeah.
If it's not real apparent, you know, it's just like, I just feel kind of lousy. Well, what do you mean lousy? I don't know.
I don't feel good.
Is there some way for testing? Or?
Yeah, there's some great testing. So that's my favorite thing to do when we can. The best thing to do, there's kind of a basic blood panel that I've developed over the years and that I find to be really effective for that case. So somebody's not feeling great and they don't exactly know why.
Yeah.
Or the elite marathoner who's throwing up all of a sudden at mile 12 and doesn't know why. So there's just a great panel. So there are three different things. Unfortunately, there's three different labs that do each of these things well. So
okay.
the lab who does amino acids really well is not the lab who does vitamins and minerals really well. So I've found separate places that I draw from. So essentially you would go have your blood drawn at any Westcliff Lab West and
right.
have your blood drawn. And then they send it to the different labs and the labs send the information to me. So the things I'm looking at are, one, your basic panel that your doctor may have already run. So your electrolytes, I want to know what's going on with that, especially if you're cramping or if you have a tendency to bonk or, cramping in the middle of the night. Those are the typical things that I want to know what's going on. Or if you're a really salty sweater. So there are, about 25% of the population has salt on their skin after a workout.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks, oh, everybody's like that. And it's not. It's about 25% of any group that you ask will be a salty sweater.
Yeah.
So I want to look at their electrolytes. And that's a pretty basic panel. Iron. It's very common to have iron deficiency, particularly in women, but also in male endurance athletes.
Right.
The interesting piece about that is that it's worth looking a little deeper. Your liver stores iron in a form called ferritin. So most doctors, if they're not used to working with athletes, they'll just look to see if you're anemic. And if you're not anemic, they say, good, no problem with iron. But if you delved a little bit deeper and you look to see the ferritin, which is your iron storage your liver storage of iron, if that's depleted way down, that means, well, sure, you're coping, but just barely, right? You're drawing it out and your bank is going to be empty soon.
Mm.
So it's really worth asking your doctor to run a ferritin when you have your blood test done, because you want to make sure you're not missing that, especially if you're just feeling generally lousy.
Yeah.
So that's the general basic lab. And then the two specialty labs I like to add on are the amino acids. So that's a blood test. We look in plasma. It's a quantitative measure of 40 amino acids.
Oh.
And amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. So, and that's just quantitative. Really, let's see what you're getting. Now, the one caveat to that is that because it's quantitative, it's going to be reflecting what you ate most recently.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to really be a measure of the last 3 months. And you go in fasting, because if you had a breakfast of an omelet, that's going to skew what shows up.
Yeah.
So fasting just overnight, but it will reflect what you've eaten the last week, the last month, disproportionately. But really, we eat the same things all the time.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, what you ate last month is probably what you ate the last 3 months. So it's not a problem.
Yeah.
And then the other piece of that is a really sophisticated qualitative test for nutrients. So vitamins, minerals. People are taking fish oil. We can find out if that's working. Are you absorbing it? Are you getting what you need? All your minerals and all of those things. Figure out how they're functioning in your cells. So not just quantitative, like how much zinc is floating around in your cells.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. But how is it functioning? Do you need more? And the amino acids it takes, if we're going to do a repletion and give you a supplement for amino acids, it takes about 3 months. What I love about that, I did this myself years ago training for Chicago Marathon, and what I noticed when I took the amino acids was it felt like coffee without the jitters.
Oh, man.
I was amazed by how good, right? I mean, because I was deficient. When your body needs something and you give it to it, you're going to feel it. And I felt fantastic.
Wow.
Great energy. For, 2 months, I took it every day. And then I noticed I was forgetting to take it. And when I took it, I didn't feel anything. So I wasn't so driven to take it. I was repleted.
Yeah.
I had it back. So I didn't crave it as much. So that's pretty quick. Amino acids are absorbed back into your body 1 to 3 months. The vitamins and minerals take a little bit longer to absorb. So that's more like 4 to 6 months of a multivitamin. And that's the thing with multivitamin is you can be taking something you've been taking from the drugstore for 20 years, a one a day men's.
Yeah.
And it probably has done nothing, because all you needed was 400 milligrams of selenium and you were getting 200. So you took a bunch of stuff you didn't need and didn't get what you really needed, and it didn't hurt you, but it cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right. So, there are just ways to be more sophisticated and figure out what you really need and give you that for 4 to 6 months rather than every day. Taking a general Band-Aid.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we could all use that, because I go to my doctor regularly, and he's a sports doctor, you know, but he just does the regular blood panel. And,
right.
You know, he's helped me a lot because I was feeling extremely run down. And I couldn't make it through the day. I enjoy my naps. If I can squeeze in a 15 to 20 minute nap every day, I'm totally happy. I just absolutely love my naps. But I needed my nap. I couldn't stay awake if I tried. And he just did a normal blood panel. It turned out I had thyroid problems. And that was what that issue was all about. So we got that into balance. But, you know, if there are other tests and things that we can look at, I mean, that,
yeah,
all of us need that.
I think so.
You know, I think we're going to be beating a path to your door.
I hope so. Here.
So you mentioned overuse injuries. What types of injuries do you see?
All types of injuries. It's funny, in my practice, I feel like I'll get a rash of different things. So for a while, it was all plantar fasciitis, and then it was all rotator cuff. And so it all comes in. I would say typical injuries are just achy knees. So patellofemoral disorder. So we get issues with the knees. We're going to get IT band tightness. A lot of muscle cramping. So people are just having cramping, and that's really simple to take care of. Swimming will give people shoulder issues. If your bike isn't quite right, you know this better than I do, your neck will go.
Mm-hmm.
So if your neck is out, that's, you know, something about alignment, but it's also just relaxing those muscles.
Well, let's go back to rotator cuff, because we were taught all wrong in Michigan, swimming as a kid, you know, to keep our bodies flat in the water, and as a result, our shoulders got all messed up. I've had surgery on my left side. My right side probably needs it, but it's not as bad. So I come in, it's like, oh man, and I'm having problems now. I had my surgery probably 3 years ago, so it's been a while, and it definitely improved it. But okay, so I'm coming in, I'm complaining to you about my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do, and how can you help?
Easy question. I've found a great therapy for shoulders, just sort of accidentally. So there's, you know, when you go to a physical therapist or a chiropractor, do you know about E-stim, like a TENS unit? So, you know, they'll put pads on you that causes an electrical stimulation. It'll make the muscle tap up and down, right? So I have a machine that has little electrodes, and I clip those onto the acupuncture needles. So I'll do some local points, 4 points. We're talking about acupuncture now. So 4 points across the joint going both ways, right? And then I'm going to connect a positive to a negative and a positive to a negative and send electrical impulses through that joint, right? And I've had 3 people cancel rotator cuff surgeries that they already had scheduled because they didn't need it.
Wow.
It's brilliant because, and that works with knees, but just with a shoulder, it tends to, I think there's just so much muscle mass there that I can really get the electric stimulation through that.
But what is it you're actually fixing? Because it's, you know, if it's a tear, it's not going to fix
it's not going to fix a tear.
Obviously.
It's not going to get rid of a tumor, you know, any of those things.
Yeah.
But what we're doing is increasing circulation to the area.
Okay.
So it's like the opposite of having a cortisone injection. So if something hurts, you inject cortisone into it because the doctor doesn't have anything else to do, right? There aren't other therapies. So they inject cortisone in it. Cortisone stops the immune response. So that it doesn't hurt anymore, right? Like your red blood cells and all that isn't there
anymore. I thought it shrunk the muscle tissue or something.
Yeah, there's some physical irritation to it also. But really what cortisone does is stopping an immune reaction. It's stopping inflammation. It's anti-inflammatory, right?
Okay.
So what I'm doing with my therapies are exactly the opposite. I'm trying to draw more of your own immune system through the area. So really, I mean, it's a long answer to answer, well, what does acupuncture do? Because it's working from a different paradigm. So Eastern physiology is not the same as Western physiology. We can talk about qi and yin and yang and all of that, and your eyes will go glassy. It's circulation, right? So if we can increase circulation through the same area, then I'm using your white blood cells. I'm using your immune system to get through there and patch it up and fix it itself. So I think that's the easiest way to answer that, is it's really about increasing local circulation. Same thing if it's your knee, if it's your foot with a neuroma, wherever it is, I'm getting the attention of your immune system and using your body to fix it.
So how many treatments am I going to need to fix my problem?
Shoulder?
Yeah.
It's always a little different. I would say the longer something's been going on, the longer it takes to treat.
Okay.
Now that said, there are few conditions that need more than 5 or 7 acupuncture treatments.
Okay.
Usually you're feeling better after one. The typical presentation is somebody comes in and I treat their knee and they say, wow, they get off the table. That feels great. I feel so much better. And then 48 hours later, they're like, oh, it's better, but it's not as good as it was.
Right.
And they come back in. And then it lasts 5 days. And they're like, oh, it's not as bad as it was, but it's still
coming back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then each treatment builds on the next. So it's not like a practitioner who is saying, come in 3 times a week for the rest of your life.
Right.
It's not like that. They really do last longer. They build on each other.
Hmm.
It's like I need to get the attention of that local immune system and get it fixed.
Yeah.
So each treatment lasts a little bit longer, and then you just don't schedule because you don't need to come in anymore. And that's pretty typical. So between 3 and 7 treatments, the more recent, the more acute the injury, the faster it'll respond.
Yeah.
The more, and your shoulder with the surgery would take longer to improve than the other one. So that other shoulder.
Well, maybe I should let you take a look.
I can take care of
right
it.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow,
but the one that's had surgery, or if you've done a cortisone injection and something, that's harder for me to treat with acupuncture.
Yeah, this has been shot with cortisone half a dozen times too.
It's worth a try, but it definitely is harder for me to get a response historically when. Something's already
when
had
it's been
surgery.
Messed with.
Yeah, when it's been tweaked a little bit. Not always, but
yeah, it's well, I'll tell you what, anytime you can avoid surgery, you know, either through, you know, drugs or
put a lift in your
acupuncture
shoe.
Acupuncture or anything, you know, that's I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm really I've tried acupuncture before. I actually had an Achilles problem. Chronic, you know, over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that would make it go away is if I just totally stopped running, you know, and that's hard for
not
a triathlete
option.
Really to do.
Yeah.
But, and I went to a guy for a couple of treatments with acupuncture and it didn't work. It didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that worked for me was, like you said, increasing the circulation. But in this particular case, he used a nitroglycerin patch.
Great.
And that just, you know, I used these patches for a couple of weeks, and now I have
no problem.
Hardly any pain.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. But
yeah,
it's going back to the circulation thing like you talked about.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, and I have a similar product for my own line. I've developed a few products recently, and there's a similar product where the idea is to increase nitrous oxide to local areas.
Okay.
So I have a topical product that, you know, you'll do like a hot bath or put a warm towel to open up the pores, and you rub this on your legs, on your muscles, on wherever that is, the Achilles. And the same idea, right? So the idea is just to increase circulation to that area locally. Open up the blood vessels so that you can get more of your white blood cells through there.
Yeah.
Trying to use your system. Just tweak it.
Yeah.
Instead of using a medication.
And what do you think of this prolotherapy? And what's the other one? There's another therapy that uses injection.
There are quite a few of them. Sclerotherapy, there's prolotherapy, there's biopuncture.
What's all that about?
I think they're great.
Yeah.
There are different things that do. The main premise there, a lot of them will be depends on what you're injecting. Some people inject medication, some people inject saline. Simplest way to explain that is it's similar to what I'm saying that we're trying to do, right? So if we inject saline in along your Achilles tendon there, then your body's like, what the heck is that? I got to go deal with that. Like there's a space occupying something. Like there's something between the tissues. Why do I have a fluid where it doesn't belong?
Yeah.
So your immune system is triggered. It goes down there to get it out. So it's the same thing I'm talking about, where we're talking about increasing your own immune system by putting a physical catalyst there.
Mm.
You know, salt water.
Yeah.
Using a saline is great because it's not going to cause any collateral damage. You know, your body is going to absorb it.
Right.
It's just, and in that way, I think that probably the mechanism of action is very similar to what we're doing with acupuncture.
Okay.
Right? Except that it's probably, what I've seen, and I've worked with some DOs who do prolotherapy, is that Prolotherapy, I think, works better for more chronic conditions.
Okay.
Whereas acupuncture and biopuncture, those are things that are better when it's just started. So the more severe the problem is, the less likely acupuncture is going to touch it.
Okay.
And you may need to inject something in there. Does that make sense? So, okay.
So it sounds like acupuncture for the right shoulder and right. something else for the left
Maybe.
Shoulder.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, we'll try acupuncture first. But yeah, you may need something else in there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, if you're in this sport for any period of time, you're going to experience, you know, injury and just all of the problems that we do, you know, mm-hmm. that we end up with.
Up.
So, yeah, that's great.
Yep, and I see all of them.
Well, so, okay, so how do we reach you again? What's your website?
So the business is Athletizen. So it's Athletizen, okay. athletizen.com.
Okay.
My phone number is 949-574-4978.
Okay.
In Costa Mesa, right near Triangle Square.
Yep. For those of you not from Orange County, it's going to seem like kind of a contradiction there, Triangle Square.
I know.
It's
a landmark.
It's a cool place.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you for your time, Evie.
Thank you for having me, and I'm happy to answer questions. So if you have any questions and you want to know whether I can help, I'm more than happy to answer emails. Just send me an email through the website and I can give you some guidance and just do a 15-minute chat on the phone to figure out if I can help.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Evie. You can reach me at ron@triathica.com and visit our websites, triathica.com, triathicaacademy.com, and we've got some cool stuff coming out, so check it out. Thank you.
Thank you so much.